We're going to continue our study today in Romans 12:1. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. In growing up in the Catholic Church, they didn't call the messages that the priest gave sermons. They called them homilies. I'm not exactly sure what homily means, but I think it's another word for sermon. But it was actually shorter. It was not maybe 25 minutes that most Protestant churches would have a message. It was maybe more like 10 or 15 minutes. And some people would go to different worship services depending upon how long the priest spoke. So if they had a priest they could find that only did like 5 or 10 minutes, they'd go there so they could get home early. Maybe today will be a little more like a homily because we don't have too much time, but we'll try to just make our way through the material. But we've been we've introduced last week the new theme for the church year, which is renew, and we'll be discussing various aspects and how we can renew our life in the Lord. And last week we talked about the first verse of Romans 12, about offering our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord and what that meant to give ourselves wholly to God as an act of worship and as an act of praise. And I gave this quote from Dr. Sproul, which I think summarized this sentiment well when he said, "We do not segment our lives, giving some time to God, some time to our business or schooling, while keeping parts to ourselves. The idea is to give all our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and for the honor and glory of God. That is what the Christian life is all about." And so offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is to give all of our lives to God as an offering of worship to Him. And today we're going to see a little bit more about what the implications of that in our lives as we seek to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, I think many of us like to, and maybe we're encouraged to see stories of transformation, and people are transformed in many different areas. In this new year, one of the biggest resolutions that people make is to get in shape. And if you go online, you can see encouragement from many people who indeed get their self in shape. And I think we just went to the wrong slot. Richard, can you help us get there, back to where we were? But anyway, the picture was a before and after. Someone, this lady, changed her diet, changed her lifestyle, and after many months, lost over 100 pounds. And we see that as a testimony in terms of what she did and what could be done in her life in terms of changing her physical being. But as those of us who follow Christ, we're not just interested in the physical, but we're interested in transforming our spiritual lives as well. And so our passage that we're looking at, kind of a two-part message, is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'd like to read verse 1 again as well to kind of remind us and refresh us. So let's read this together, please. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The first thing that we see in this passage is a conformed pattern, and that conformed pattern isn't so much a conformity that the Apostle Paul is talking about to biblical standards, but that it's a tendency that I think we all have to conform to the patterns of the world. And we see that here, that Paul is saying, do not conform to the pattern of the world. And what is conform? Well, definition of conform involves changing your behaviors in order to fit in or go along with the people around you. In some cases, this social influence might involve agreeing with or acting like the majority of people in a specific group, or it might involve behaving in a particular way to be perceived as normal by the group. And so an illustration would be maybe someone is with a group of friends in their school and they, I don't know, really don't want to participate in some behavior. Maybe their friends smoke cigarettes. And I remember, I actually distinctly remember, I had a friend in middle school who smoked, and they really tried hard to get me to smoke, but I just didn't want to smoke, and so I had to stand firm in that. But I think there was other friends and those that I knew that kind of succumbed to the peer pressure and then would do something maybe that they would prefer not to have done because they conformed themselves to the expectations of their friends or their peer group. And what a word that had been used very commonly probably 25 years ago or more is the term carnal Christianity or a carnal Christian. I don't think anyone talks about carnal Christian now, but basically a carnal Christian is one who conforms their lives to the patterns of the world. If you would look at this Christian, this person trying to seek Jesus, and you would compare them to a non-Christian neighbor, you would probably not be able to make any discernment in terms of differences between them, because the carnal Christian is basically living their life as if they were a non-believer, and maybe even participating in behaviors that would not conform to our understanding of the Bible. There's been some responses to that. One response has been for the church to discourage certain behaviors. So how many here have been to a movie at a theater in the past 6 months? How many have been to a movie? Okay. So probably in the 1950s and 1960s, you would all be condemned by church leaders because good Christians, carnal Christians go to movies. Christians who really seek to follow the Lord avoid movies at all cost. Now, I don't think, as we see by the show of hands, most of us watch movies, and I think there's been a kind of a change in thinking that that engaging and watching movies is okay. There's probably some movies that are best not to watch, but in any case, we want to think through and interact with movies, and hopefully can even approach them with a Christian understanding or worldview. But that's one approach. The other approach is even more extreme, and that is the Amish. The Amish live in Pennsylvania and the East Coast, and they ride around in horse-drawn carriages because they basically decided that if they live a modern lifestyle, then they're being carnal. They are conforming to the pattern of the world. So they've decided basically the most biblical time frame in the history of the world was the 1800s in U.S. And they don't have cell phones or television or use electricity. They basically live a very simplistic lifestyle. And most of us would probably say, well, that's probably not what Jesus was getting at when he says to be in the world and not of the world. But that's another reaction to it. But then other reaction could just be that, the biblical reaction is like I just said, Jesus wants us to be in the world but not of the world, but what does that mean? I think it actually goes to the level of values is the most important. And I'm not saying that certain behaviors are probably good for us not to engage in. But in terms of values, these are some American core values, and I guess you could kind of debate this list, but I think the values that we hold as Christians and the values that that the world may have may not necessarily coincide completely. But our culture has a strong influence on us. And one particular value is that of achievement and success. But what does achievement and success mean for one who is a disciple of Jesus? Does it mean that we're trying to make the most money or have the highest title? Would Mother Teresa be an example of a successful American? Because she gave her life to the poor. For a lot of people, they would think, well, maybe that was just foolishness. So how does the understanding of biblical principle align with our core values? And individualism, we all have in America our rights, and I think that's probably why we have so many lawyers. But really, is the Bible about individualism? Well, I spoke a series on a healthy church not too long ago, and I think from that we can hopefully gain an understanding that that our walk with God, though personal and putting our faith in God, is never meant to be a solitary existence. We're to be in this together. We're to encourage one another and to serve together and to seek to fulfill the Great Commission as a church body. And so I think that biblical standard does is prophetic in a sense to many of the values that we may have as Americans. And I think for those that may be from other cultures, from China or from Thailand, they have other cultural values. And some of those actually may go along well with the biblical understanding. But then there's other, in other ways, maybe they're not. And so we need to be able to read the Bible and be able to critique our lifestyle and our cultural values. So that goes a little bit deeper than just maybe not going to a movie or moving to Pennsylvania and riding around in a horse-drawn carriage. What the Apostle Paul is arguing for, however, is a transformed life. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does a transformed life look like? Well, the word in Greek is basically similar to our word metamorphosis. And metamorphosis is most, the most common understanding of metamorphosis would be that of a caterpillar transforming, metamorphosizing into a butterfly. And it begins as an egg and a larva and the caterpillar, and then it becomes this adult, beautiful butterfly. And that's the same word that the Apostle Paul is using as transformed. We leave our old life behind, that maybe caterpillar life. Nothing wrong with caterpillars, but God has something more for us. He wants us, in a sense, to be butterfly believers, where we can spread our wings and be able to reflect the beauty that God desires in our lives. Dr. Sproul, as I quoted him last week, has a good quote here. He says, "In salvation, we are not only saved from sin and damnation, we are saved unto holiness. The goal of redemption is holiness." And of course, we want, through the gospel camp and other venues, to reach our community and reach our friends for Christ. But the main goal isn't just salvation, but it's to live a transformed life in holiness for the glory of God. And so we present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, as an act of worship. And the reason for that, or one of the reasons, the reason or result of that, is to live this transformed life before the Lord. And how do we accomplish that? Well, we accomplish that through a renewed mind. And the Apostle Paul goes on and said that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this is a picture of Dr. Sproul, and he is known primarily for a couple of things. He wrote a book called The Holiness of God. And one of the things I appreciate him, though I don't agree with every aspect of his theology, is that he can really take kind of complex theological concepts and make them understandable. And so I always appreciated that about him. And he's had a lot, he recently passed away, but for a long time, many 30, 40 years, had a program called Renewing Your Mind. And so his emphasis on the holiness of God in his books translated then to this ongoing series of messages, radio broadcasts, that to achieve this transformation by holiness, which is by renewing our mind. And there's a lot that we can talk about in terms of mind renewal, but there's three verses that I wanted to just touch on and share that touch on what it means to have a renewed mind. And one of them is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And so one of the ways that our mind is renewed is through study of God's word. We're to read it and to know it, and even beyond reading it, I think we're called also to study the Word and to gain a deeper understanding in that. And that's one of the reasons why we have Sunday school classes at our church. A lot of churches nowadays don't have Sunday school anymore. They kind of focus on fellowship groups, which are great. But I think that in a Sunday school context, in a classroom context, we can actually hopefully have a broader, a deeper discussion on the truth of Scripture and how that applies to our lives. We're also called to meditate and to hide God's word in our heart. In Joshua, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And so we're called to study the word, but we're also to hide God's word in our heart, to meditate on it. But the meditation isn't just an exercise to know the word better, but it's actually to help it maybe rattle in our mind, that we may reflect on it and that it may translate to a changed life, that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And so when we're taking some verses and we're reflecting on them throughout the week, I think we have a better chance of actually implementing those principles in our lives because they're in our mind, and they can then hopefully be translated to our actions. And then Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not things on earth. And I think that renewing our mind includes those good things that God has provided. I think the bedrock of that mind renewal is Scripture, but I think there's also other parts of cultural expression, like music or maybe even movies or nature, that when they align with God's will and values can be helpful in our drawing closer to God. A lot of people find walking in nature to be an experience that draws them closer to God. And so I think that's partly what this verse is getting at. And so in these different areas, we can renew our mind, and that mind can hopefully lead to transformation. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the goal then is for transformation. We achieve the transformation by the renewing of our mind, and as we renew our mind, we begin to implement and to live out God's will in our life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Most people have a desire to know God's will in their life. I think the most popular workshop in most conferences always has to do with knowing God's will, and that's especially, I think, acute and desirous of those who are younger, who are teenagers or young adults. Like, what does God want me to do with my life? But I think it even has ramifications for those of us who are a little older, who maybe is going through a midlife crisis and trying to find out what God wants them to do. And that's all important in terms of God's direction in our life, but I actually think that no matter what our context is, we're still called to live out God's will in our life, to live holy lives pleasing to him. And a lot of living out God's will isn't so much what he wants us to do, but actually who he wants us to be. I've had some friends over the years who were born and bred New Yorkers, and they had a desire to move out of New York. And so some of them moved to Toronto, many moved to California. And I think part of the reason is, well, they probably got tired of New York living, and that's why I'm not living there. But they also, I think, in the mentality of some, it was, if I move, then I will experience a life change. However, then I noticed many of them started coming back to New York. I think they missed the lifestyle of New York. But I think one of the things they learned was just moving doesn't necessarily change your life. You can move to another location, but you're still you. And the Lord wants us, no matter what profession that we may have, no matter where we may live, we still are called to live out the gospel in our lives. And that's not necessarily dependent upon the specifics of God's direction, but on living out who we are. And we do that by the renewing of our mind. And so what is some encouragement for those of us who are seeking to live this out as disciples? Well, I think the first is to examine our lifestyle. Are we conforming our lives to the pattern of the world? Are we shaped by the world, or are we shaped by a biblical understanding and by the holiness of God? Secondly, clarify your desire for change. We're called to live a transformed life, but to live a transformed life, I think that goes down then to motivation. And are we living a transformed life because we want to please the Lord? Do we want to live out a biblical understanding? Do we really want to be able to be a witness of Christ to our friends and family and to the world? So I think sometimes having a reason in mind can help us to achieve that desire that we may have for transformation. If we don't really clarify our reason for doing something, then we may not necessarily do it. Someone may decide, I want to work out and I want to get strong and lose weight. But then what is the reason for that? If they don't really have a reason in mind, it's and a good goal in mind, an understanding, they may not live that out. And so I just encourage us to think through the reasonings why we want to live a transformed life. And then seek to renew our mind. Seek to renew our mind through the study of Scripture, through meditating on Scripture, and even connecting with God and reflecting on the goodness of God through all of His creation. And so our calling for this today, for this week, for this year, I think for the rest of our lives that we're here seeking to serve the Lord, is to not be conformed or shaped by the world, but to live a transformed life. And we can do that as we seek the Lord in our life, as we offer our lives as a sacrifice to Him, but we also do that through the power of the Spirit that He provides. And then as we do so, hopefully we can be a witness to the world who is in need of our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for Your goodness and for Your love and for Your grace. And we thank You for the words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, who really had a desire that that Your people live a life of holiness and righteousness and godliness, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so help us, Lord, in living that out today and every day. In Christ's name, amen.